But what I'm going to do is just share a little bit about this new series that we're going to start. It's called Made for More, okay? Everyone say Made for More. Yeah? So what we want to be able to do is actually walk through. We've been going through this whole series in Ephesians. Our theme for the year is Made for More. We're going through the book of Ephesians, and we talk about Pentecost, Pause, and how the Holy Spirit's come upon each and every one of us. But we believe it's not just so that we can have a great encounter. It's that God also mobilizes us. Amen? To be able to see His kingdom move forward. So what I want you to do is turn to your neighbor and say, you are made for more. Now turn to your other neighbor and say, I am made for more. Well, our goal is at the end of these 6 weeks, you'll be able to do that, but say that with godly confidence. Amen? Right? Not sheepish, I'm made for more. Like, it's like, no, I'm made for more. Right? God has given me passion, personality, spiritual gifts, and I know what that is. Right? And I am embracing it. I'm not going to envy someone else and how they're made. I'm going to embrace how God has made me, and I'm going to walk in it. Can I hear an amen? Yeah? And so as a church, over the next few weeks, that's what we're going to try and help each of us do that. As part of our vision, to build disciples who represent Jesus to everyone, everywhere, with everything, requires us to really understand how God has made you uniquely you. Yeah? And so today, Pastor Sharon's going to kickstart the series, Made in the Image of God. Over the 2 weeks after that, I'll be sharing about spiritual gifts. And then after that, Pastor Paul will share about passion, areas of passion. Then we're going to have a guest speaker that shares about how that will look like in different areas outside the four walls of the church. And then the very last week, we're going to have a session to talk about releasing each and every one of us to do that. So now if you can look at the screen, these are the four key steps that we're going to walk through. Next one. Over the next 6 weeks, okay? If you go on our website, you'll be able to see that. But basically, these four steps, okay? Let's say it together. Number one, discover. Number two, share. Number three, grow. And number four, serve, yeah? And so what we want you to discover, the way you're made, we want you to share that with us so that we can see how we can grow as a body of Christ. That we've given you steps about how you can grow in those things. And fourthly, how do we mobilize you, both in the church, but also beyond the church, okay? So we'll walk through that over the next 6 weeks. But in the meantime, why don't we just give a hand to Pastor Sharon as she brings the word.
Oh, good morning. Can I move back a little so I can see a bit more, a few more people? This is really strange. But I feel like it reminds me of so I've been taking my baby to baby sensory class, and we sing this song at the end where it's like, goodbye everyone. And I feel like this is the perfect setting to do it. It's like the big people and the little people. Hello everyone. Well, it's really good for me to be here. It took a lot. I'm really tired, but I'm really glad that we're here and I'm able to bring the word of God to you. Now, how have you all been? I feel like I haven't talked to a lot of you for a long time. This morning, we are starting a new series about spiritual gifts, but it's not just about spiritual gifts. And one of the things I love about this is how holistic it is. It's about how each of us are made in the image of God with unique gifts, with unique personalities and passions, so that we can be useful for His kingdom. And as Pastor Chi shared, we will be talking about a few of these things, but it's these four areas. So your personality, and that what we mean by that is how you serve best. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about how we're wired. Some of us are more this or more that. And then next week when we talk about spiritual gifts, that's what you do best, how God has gifted you, and what you do best. When we talk about experience, is why you do what you do. So that may be, you know, your background in your family life, your work background, your training in different skills, and then your passion is where you serve best. And whether that is inside the church or outside the church, we believe that both of these areas of service are equally important. And so for some of you, you may already know all these things about yourself, all these four areas. You might be like, oh, I've done so many tests, I've done so many training programs, and I know all these things about myself. But our hope is that over the next few weeks, you will take this opportunity to go deeper. Yeah? You will take this opportunity to ask the Spirit to reveal more. You know, the beauty of a life with Jesus is that each season, each new season that we find ourselves in, he reveals new things about himself. He teaches us new things about himself. And he meets us where we're at and shows us new glimpses of himself that are relevant to us at the time. And for some of you, this is going to be a bit of a turning point. You maybe have been feeling a bit drained, maybe a bit unmotivated, or even burnt out because you've been operating, serving, or relating to the world around you in a way that goes against how God has made you. It's like trying to use right-handed scissors when you're left-handed. Has anyone left-handed? Yeah? Yes? I'm not left-handed, but I've got all my best friends are left-handed, and to see them try to use right-handed scissors, it's very difficult. It's ineffective and very, very frustrating. And our hope is that by the end of this series, you will not only learn more about God, but also the fact that you have been fearfully and wonderfully made, uniquely and remarkably gifted and intentionally formed and shaped for his kingdom and his purposes, not just out there in the world, but also right here in the community of our church family. Now, I'm going to go ahead and just assume that most of us here are familiar with the story of Moses. And if you haven't heard the story of Moses, there's actually a Netflix series at the moment about his life. How convenient. You can just go watch that, or you can also read about it in the book of Exodus. I love it because it's on Netflix. Like anyone can watch it. Like non-Christians can watch it, and they've actually got different experts from different faiths, from like Judaism, from Islam, who also speak into it because they also have Moses in their faiths as well. So it's a fantastic documentary. Well, Moses, growing up in the Egyptian palace, he knew he was different. He knew he didn't quite fit, but as we follow his journey, Moses eventually actually discovers his true identity in God as an Israelite, and that God had a greater purpose for his life. He had been made for more. And when Moses came to the end of himself, God's Spirit empowered him with miracles, with signs. You know, his upbringing in the Egyptian palace gave him the power and the connections to speak up to Pharaoh. And with all that he was and all that he had and he knew, Moses was the perfect person that God had prepared in advance to lead his people out of Egypt. The thing is, Moses' experience of discovering his life purpose isn't as rare and as uncommon as we may think. Like Moses, when we discover our true identity in God and embrace it, like he did, we too can step into the plans and purposes that God has for our lives. You know, when I started ministry 10 years ago now, people always said to me, oh, you're so lucky to know what you want to do with your life. You know, I wish I knew what my purpose in life was. Well, guess what? You can, because the Bible is actually quite clear and explicit about this. In fact, that's why over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be exploring together how each of us have been uniquely and perfectly made so that we can better live out the plans and purposes that God has for each of our lives. And like Moses, we too need to first discover our true identity in God. And what better place to start than creation? Now, in the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible, God creates the world. He creates the heavens and the earth. He creates day and night, land and sky and water, plants and animals, and he saw that it was good. Now, in Genesis 1, 26, 31, it says this, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image." Everybody say, in our image. "In our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. I love how the Bible Project puts this. In the Ten Commandments, we're told not to make images of God and bow down and worship them, because God has already made images of himself in us. How profound is that? You know, we are not to make images because God has already made images of himself. You know, when people make images and idols of gods to worship, they believe that idol is synonymous with that particular god, and that idol possesses the same powers and the same spirit as that god, and that's why people sacrifice and worship them. But notice how in Genesis, God refers to himself as us and our. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. He's referring to himself as the Trinity here, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And here he's creating mankind in all his fullness, the fullness of himself, in his moral, spiritual, and intellectual nature, in all his goodness, in all his creativity, in all his authority. Of course, that doesn't mean that we are God, but that we have been made in his image and his likeness. It's like how our children look like us, and sometimes they act like us, sometimes they talk like us, have traits and qualities and personalities like us, because they carry our genes and spend a lot of time with us. They soak in everything that we do and say, and they copy our every move. We too are children of God, co-heirs with Christ, made in his image and in his likeness. We carry this identity as the children of God, and in our discipleship, we too are becoming more and more like Christ himself. And like our children or our siblings are all different, each of us are also different, carrying different traits of God. We're going to spend a little bit more time talking about this a little later and throughout the series, but some of us are more creative, some of us are more analytical, some of us are more structured, some of us are more preferring to go with the flow, some of us are more task-orientated, while others are more people-orientated. And each of us have also been given different gifts and passions and experiences, and as a body or as a collective, each and individually made in the image of God, we reveal more of God together than we do alone. Amen. Doesn't that sound familiar? It's one of our discipleship making values that we reveal more of God together than alone. So why does he do this? In Genesis, we read that God creates images of himself in us so that we may rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and every living creature on this earth. Well, that's a bit strange. We were actually created in God's image to rule and reign. You know, these are verbs reserved and associated for kings and queens with sovereign powers to make decisions for the greater good in the kingdoms that they rule over. We were created in God's image to care for, cultivate, and build upon creation with the same powers and authority as God himself. That's huge. We come as we are, and we're like, oh, I'm a nobody. But God's like, no, I've created you with the same authority as me to care for creation, to look after this, to cultivate this, to build upon this. One of the really cool things about the Bible is that the beginning and the end actually mirror one another. And in Genesis, we read about the creation of the heavens and the earth, and with Adam and Eve walking in the garden with their creator. And then in Revelation, we actually see a new heaven and a new earth. And then also a picture of Eden, the Garden of Eden, restored. Except that what was once a garden, Eden is now a city. I don't know if you've read it before. It's in Revelation 21 and 22. It's a city that doesn't have any temples because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. It's a city that does not need the sun or the moon to shine, because the glory of the God gives it light, and the Lamb, which is Jesus, is its lamp. It's a city where people of all nations will walk by its light. It's a city where the gates are never shut, where nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful and deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In the city, there will be a river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle. And on each side of this river will stand the tree of life with leaves that are for the healing of the nations. And in the city, there will be the throne of God and of the Lamb, and his servants, that is us, will be serving him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more light, there will be no more night, and they will not need the lamp, the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, because the Lord God will be their light. He will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen. This picture of Eden restored in Revelation is what we're working towards. We were created in God's image with authority to rule and subdue the earth and everything in it, not just to look after all the cute animals and do some gardening, even though that would be an ideal job. But we have been created in God's image so that we can rule, we can create, we can build, we can cultivate all of creation into this kingdom city. We're building a garden into a city. And you know what makes a city a city? The fact that there are a lot of people living in it. One of the trends in global missions over the last few years is a shift from rural areas to the mega cities of the world. Today, around 55%, or around half of the world's population, live in urban areas. But did you know that by 2025, it's estimated that 68% of people will be living in cities? That's another 2.5 billion people pouring into the urban areas, creating a melting pot of cultures, with close to 90% of this increase taking place in Asia and Africa. They've estimated that by 2050, 1 billion people will be living in China's cities alone. That's a lot of people. And you know what? When we read Genesis, we read about this one family of Adam and Eve walking with the Lord in the garden, and then in Revelation, we see a great multitude. We see a great multitude of people that no one can count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And in this great city of the kingdom of God, there is light, there is healing, there is restoration. The Lord God dwells among his people, and he reigns as Lord and King with everything, absolutely everything, coming under his rule. This kingdom reality is what you and I have been created to cultivate. We've been created in God's image to build this reality. This is the mission of God, to bring all peoples and all things under his rule and his lordship. We've been created in God's very own image with power and authority, not just to maintain the status quo, but so that we can rule with justice, we can reign with compassion, we can govern with peace, we can administer healing, hope, and reconciliation. We've been made to build upon and bring to life this reality of the kingdom of God. When we say that we're in the business of building disciples who represent Jesus to everyone with everything, everywhere with everything, we're talking about a representation of Jesus that comes with the power and the authority to bring about lasting, impactful change for the kingdom. As representatives of Jesus, we are diplomats of the kingdom of God, appointed to speak and act on behalf of the King. We want to build disciples for every industry, for every peoples, for every sphere of society, to see institutional change. We want to see societal transformation. We want to see engineers, nutritionists, carpenters, analysts, lawyers, parents, siblings, and neighbors playing their roles to the best of their abilities. We want to equip you to put everything under the lordship of Christ, beginning with ourselves in how we manage our health, our relationships, our money, and different aspects of our lives. That's why we always talk about these different series where we're trying to build you up and give you these tools to live a life as true disciples who are able to put these things under the lordship of Christ. We want to see the disciples of Jesus participating in community and contributing to the body of Christ so that the church can shine brighter as a light to the nations. We want to see the next generation disciples and even people from different walks of life who will come to know, love, and serve the Lord. And how are we going to do that if we don't have people serving in our kids' church ministry, in our youth ministry, in the four walls of this church to build the next generation up to take this legacy forward? That's why Pastor Chi and the church leadership are so passionate about not just bringing you the word of God in theory, but we are committed to building and equipping you with practical skills, trainings, and opportunities to grow in discipleship and effectiveness. Because we believe that each of you have been made for more. Over the next 6 weeks, we will be continuing to talk about how we've been made and unpacking the four areas of discovering our personalities, spiritual gifts, passions, and experiences together, so that each of you may be sent out, equipped, and empowered by the Holy Spirit to minister and build the kingdom both inside and outside of the church. It was so funny yesterday at Life Group, one of the kids, one of Vanessa's kids, was playing with this little catapult thing made out of icy pole sticks, and she was kind of going around slinging this pom-pom around everywhere. And it kept getting lost. It kept getting, you know, flung somewhere and then like ended up on the under the couch or between someone when they were sitting. And it was really funny because in that exact moment, Anna puts her hand in her pocket and she pulls out a handful of pom-poms that had been sitting in her pocket for a year. Like she had been, I don't know, she just, I don't know, must play around with them every time she puts her hand in her pocket. But she was like, I have more pom-poms for you. And I feel like some of us are like these pom-poms sitting in the dark shadows of Anna's pockets, knowing that we have been made for a life that is more than this. You know, we've been made for a life that is more than this sitting around waiting for what am I here to do? What is my purpose? Until that exact moment, they served a greater purpose. Okay, so the pom-pom's purpose wasn't that great, but you know what I mean. Because once we discover what or who we've been made for as the children of God, made in his image, we can be put to good use and start being intentional about how we live. We can be purposeful about the mission of God. We can use our skills for his goodness. And to help you in this journey, we've actually put together a booklet with a variety of different resources on our website and some links as well that you can ask yourself some of these questions. How am I made? What is unique about me? What is it that God has entrusted me with that I can take to use and serve him with? We're also going to be running some Zoom sessions, I believe, to talk about us as different spiritual gifts. So if you start doing these quizzes and questionnaires and you're like, oh, I've discovered that I have this gift, I have no idea what it's about, well, this is the amazing course that Frank is going to run for us, and you get to know more about yourself. So we're not just talking about, just find out, you know, and then whatever, do whatever you want with it. But we want you to be honing in, to be really crafting, you know, perfecting your craft and knowing how to use that for the better. So one of the first things we actually want you to do in your own time this week is grab one of these booklets. We've got a few copies outside, not heaps, but you can also download it off our website. And Pastor Chi is going to talk about that a little bit later. But this book is going to be your profile. This is your personal profile, and there's an introduction about the different spiritual gifts, and then there's also a section in the middle here called My Profile. What we want you to do is actually fill this in over the next few weeks. As we go through these different topics about your personality, about your gifts, about your passions, we want you to fill this in because we wanted to see as a collective what our church is made of, and how you can then take this, pray over it, and go, God, what does this mean? I have all these things that you've given me. How do I bring it together for your purposes? So the first thing we want you to do is actually take the personality gift. So you'll find that on in one of the pages, and it's like a little scale thing that you fill in. Because when we say personality, what we're actually meaning is this: figuring out how you fit on this matrix, where you plot. So that is two different areas. So one is how you're energized. So that is whether you're made you're more people oriented or whether you're task oriented, and then also how you're organized. So whether you're more structured or unstructured. And there are no wrong answers. All you have to do is just go with your gut instinct. Like in the ideal world, what is your preference? And so you fill this in and you'll come up with two numbers where you get to plot on the axis and find out where you kind of sit. But where your personal style and where you plot will indicate the way that you prefer to relate to the world and the people around you. When you serve in ways that are inconsistent with your personal style over a long period of time, it can actually lead to inauthentic relationships. It can lead to decreased motivation. It can lead to even burnout. In fact, I know a lot of people in this church who have actually studied one thing and ended up in a different career, or started doing something completely different after a career change midway, when they realized that job wasn't for them. And we don't want you to kind of just waste time, you know, going through the motions and going feeling miserable because you're not in the right fit for God. And many of you know my husband Jeff also had had a career change. He used to be an optometrist, but a few years ago he went back to full-time study to become an engineer, which is completely different, right? Because he realizes that as an optometrist and seeing patients day in and day out was really draining. It was really draining him and inconsistent with how he was made as a task-oriented person. It's not that he didn't value people or developing relationships, but the fact that he was using all his emotional and, you know, focus energy on something that wasn't him was really depleting him. And for him to do that 5 days a week is very, very draining. Your task-orientated people are energized by doing things. They like accomplishing tasks, working with people who share their commitment to the task. And task-orientated people will often feel awkward or frustrated when they have to do a lot of relational activities. Do you ever like sit in a meeting and go, oh, can we just like hurry up and move on from all the small talk and, you know, how was your weekend chatter and just get to the meeting? If you thought that, you're probably a task-orientated person. People-orientated people are energized by all that connecting. You know, they're like, tell me more, like, let's connect, let's, you know, catch up. They thrive on interpersonal relationships, interactions, and working with people in team settings. And they can also feel unmotivated when working alone and needing to handle a lot of tasks. Now, both the task-orientated and people-orientated person value developing relationships. It's not that, you know, if I'm a task person, I don't care about people. It's not about that at all. They both value developing relationships and they both value meeting goals. But knowing where you sit on the spectrum, of, on that matrix, will help you figure out why you might be feeling frustrated, unmotivated, or inauthentic. It might help you as you decide what to say yes and no to. If someone offers you a job or to join a team or to, you know, be part of a ministry, it will help you recognize, well, actually, that's not my strength. Oh, that actually really drains me. It will help you figure out what kinds of jobs and ministry to be a part of that will be better suited to you, or how you might contribute better to a team. You know, we might be part of a team and delegating different tasks. Well, actually, I'm really good at this. You know, I'm really good at connecting people. Let me go talk to all the people. Or I'm really good with tasks. So let me do the admin for this thing. The second part of this matrix is figuring out how you like to be organized. So this is about energy, how you're energized. And the second part is about how you're organized, whether you prefer to be structured or unstructured. Structured personalities, I'm a structured personality. There's a few nods. We're like, yes, yes, we like things to be neat. We like things to be practical. we like to put things into files. like we like to plan and bring order to our lives. We enjoy stable, consistent relationships. We enjoy making decisions and seeking closure. Structured people are often more detailed and like things clearly defined. Unstructured people like to put things into piles. They are less concerned with being precise and prefers a lot more options and flexibility, and they enjoy and prefer a variety of activities and are comfortable in undefined situations and like spontaneous relationships. Now, you might think, oh, unstructured people are just like whatever. Like, no, it's just how God's created you, and it's fine. Like, it's perfectly fine. Does anyone listen to the Hamish and Andy podcast? Yeah, a few fans. I'm a fan. If you listen to the Hamish and Andy podcast, there's got a segment called Upset Andy, where people call up to talk about the funny but very impractical and inefficient things they do to upset Andy, because Andy is a very structured person, whereas Hamish is very unstructured. He's like fast and loose. Like, everything is, I don't have time for this. Let's just chuck things into piles. And it's like the textbook example of these two opposite personalities. But it's not that unstructured people are unorganized. Both structured and unstructured people value being organized, but the difference is in how they organize their world. I remember when I was growing up, my mom used to be like, oh, clean your room. And I'm like, oh, but I know where everything is. Like, it's messy, but I know exactly where I left that thing I left last. And I know it's messy to you, but it's actually quite organized in my head. Again, this is a spectrum. So some of you will plot very clearly on either extreme, but some of you may plot closer to middle with only a slight difference, slight preference for one or the other. So you might be able to kind of go with the flow on some things, but are more structured in other things. So maybe you're one of those people who are very structured in your work or at home, but then when you're on holiday or enjoying a weekend with friends or family, you're kind of a bit more spontaneous. You're kind of like, okay, I'm happy to go with the flow, and I'm not too, you know, scared about not knowing what will happen next. So neither are better than the other, and you'll find that in a lot of teams, you need both kinds of people operating in their strengths so that things actually get done and both are able to serve one another well. And these tests are not supposed to put you into a box. Rather, they are simply preferences. They're just preferences of how God has created you. And a personality will help explain how you like to interact with the people and the world around you. But it shouldn't be used as an excuse. It shouldn't excuse our behavior for the way we treat people or the way we are responsible with the tasks that we've been given. Just because we like to be unstructured doesn't mean we should be inconsiderate of other people's time or space. And just because we're task-oriented, it doesn't mean that we don't take time to care for people. As image bearers, each of us will reflect different aspects of God. And just as iron sharpens iron, we must learn from one another and take the time to grow in the areas that we are weak in so that we can be better representations of Jesus to those around us. Our hope is that as you learn more about how you've been created in God's image and take the time to grow in your gifts and your passions, that you would discover how you better fit into God's greater plans and purposes. If I could get the worship team to join me. How does the light of God and the lamp of the Lamb shine in your relationships, family, and workplace? What do our earthly neighborhoods look like when we know that the heavenly city's gates are never shut? What is your attitude towards people who are different to you, knowing that the inhabitants of the kingdom city are made up of peoples of every nation, tribe, and tongue? For some of you, this is a series that is going to be an affirming process, affirming that as you grow deeper and get better at what you do, you can get better at serving others and serving God. For others, you might discover that you're in the wrong job or the wrong ministry. Others, yet perhaps your perfect fit in God's kingdom work doesn't exist yet. Perhaps there's a calling on your life that you need to pursue, or a new thing that you need to start for God. Maybe some of you have realized that you haven't truly embraced your identity as the children of God and as bearers of His image, with the power and authority to rule and to reign and to build upon the kingdom. Whatever journey you're on, may you embrace the way that you have been uniquely created and have the courage and the faithfulness. Have the courage and the faithfulness to step into all that God has called you to. May you be sent and released to be representations of Jesus in the most perfect and exact way, in the perfect moment, like those pom-poms, that you have been created to do. May you realize that you have been made for more. Now, Pastor T is going to go through the website with you now, and we want to take this time for you to have a think about what is it that God is wanting to do and speak to you about over this series? What is it that He wants to bring together in your life? We have all been given gifts. We've all been given personalities. But what does that mean if we don't do anything with them? And so, Pastor Chi is going to come and he's going to take us through what we're going to do over the next few weeks with the personality test.
Okay, let's give Sharon. All that with very little sleep. Amazing. So we're going to be a pom-pom church, amen? We're going to poo, 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 right? Shoot everyone out. Pachoo, is that the right word? Pachoo. Pachow? Pachoo. Okay. But I want to speak from my heart. I really want each and every one of us to really journey with us together over the next 6 weeks. Don't hear it as if it's just this, you know, we're trying to get people to serve or it feels like this mix is like the word and all that kind of stuff. No, we're trying to make it practical. You know, it says, like, we're made in the image of God, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. What does that practically mean? We can quote that, but then sometimes you're so comparative. You go, I wish I was more like that person. And you live like that. That's not living like you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen? But you go, not in a excusing kind of way, but not in a God-sanctified way, because personalities are God-given. And when you go into Scripture, you look at Peter, you look at Paul, you look at Thomas, you look at their personalities and you realize they're really, actually really different. And God uses different kinds of different people. And if you can just begin to understand how God has uniquely made you, right? In terms of your personality, but sanctified, yeah, more like Jesus kind of thing. And then understand your areas of passion. Understand your experiences, that it's not an accident, that God can redeem the things that you have gone through and use it for His good purpose. Amen? Right? And then understanding every single spiritual gift. Like, it's taken me years to recognize the spiritual gifts that God has placed upon my life. And when you can leverage that, embrace it, and just go, how do I steward this? Because no one else can do that for you. But you can steward it, and we can work it together, not just in the church, but in the church as the church, but also in God's kingdom. That is how this church is going to grow. Can I hear an amen? Yeah? It would be too small to think it's about whatever happens on stage and the leadership in order for this church to grow. You and I have tasted over the last few weeks, every single time you hear one person step out like a Duke or a Shimela or someone else, you go, whoa, there's something that they have that I don't. There is a greater fullness of Christ that happens. And that's why that's one of our values. We experience and reveal more of Jesus together than alone. That is called the body of Christ. And we're trying to gather the body of Christ, mobilize them into God's wider kingdom. And so walk with us on this journey. Amen? Yeah? Please, yeah? Take each step, take it seriously, take it prayerfully. And what we've tried to do is given quite a few steps around how we're going to do this. And I want to walk through that right now. So imagine you get your phones, you go into our website, and then you go to our website, you scroll down, and then you'll see, ooh, made for more spiritual gifts, okay? So you click that, okay? So if you can click that for us, and in that, those are the four steps. Remember, discover, share, grow, serve. Okay, so let's say we click discover, and in that, it'll take you into three things you could do. Number one, at a bare minimum, okay? We know everyone's made a little bit differently, You can take a spiritual gifts test online that is just 10 minutes. Okay, and in that, it'll come up with your top 5 spiritual gifts, and I'll cover some of that over the next 2 weeks. But then the second one is create your personal profile, okay? So if you want to go a little bit more, which is where we want everyone to get to, is that as Pastor Sharon identified, if you, every single one of us, can go, this is my personality, this is my area of passion, this is my gifts. If you can name that for yourself, awesome, right? That is where we want to get people to, okay? And so there's stuff in there that will help you walk through it, and each week we're going to speak to it a little bit, okay? And then the third one is the life group discussions. As Pastor Sharon mentioned, there are some printed copies out there, but we want to go as digital as we can. But for the life groups, you can walk through with your life group, okay? There's a life group kit there. You can download that, and over the next 6 weeks or so, you can walk through as a life group together. And we will schedule and let you know a Zoom session where we can support life group leaders. If you want to take this to the next level within your life group after doing some of those things, we're going to be able to provide a space for some Q&A there. Now, after we take the first step of discovering, we go into share, okay? And then you don't have to click that, but in that, basically, there's going to be a form. And in that form, we're basically you uploading your profile. And that helps us to see how God has made this church. I'll give you an example. Bill Pontikus. Do you know why, and I know there's a whole bunch of us that contribute to this, but do you know why Love Loud exists? It's because we have someone that's made the way Bill is made. Can I hear an amen? Yeah? You can go to a church, another church can come and go, oh, I want to copy that. You can copy it, it ain't going to fly. It flies because it started from a disciple, and it became an overflow out of that, and other like-minded people gathered around that. Can I hear an amen? Yeah? And that is, imagine the kind of ministries that will be birthed out of that. Okay. So we want you to share, okay? And then go the next one, grow. Now, there are two ways you can grow, okay? One, you can learn by yourself. And in there, we've compiled two resources. The Learn By Yourself resource is basically a spiritual gift guide. It'll go through every single gift, give you a laydown, like an A4 page, one, around what gift that gift it is, and a bit more detail, and on the flip side, how you can grow that gift, okay? So I have a gift of wisdom, okay? These are the ways you can understand the gift of wisdom, and this is how you can grow your gift of wisdom. That's why I love the wisdom books. I love Proverbs. I love Ecclesiastes. I study it, right? That's part of me cultivating that gift and allowing God to use it, yeah? That's why we speak about whole of life. You're not going to find life hacks. You know, these are 5 principles to become, get a spiritual life, you know, spiritually healthy and spiritually victorious. No, no, it's about wisdom, spiritual wisdom, around how this works into everyday nook and cranny of life, right? And that's an overflow of my, who I am as a senior pastor, yeah? So that's learn by yourself, but then we'll let you know in due time. It's going to be in August sometime, but learn as a group. We've got a 5-week course where you can go even deeper, which Frank will be running. I used to run it many, many years ago, a 7-week series on this, but Frank will compile it together, and it's going to be a 5-week series where we're going to speak and learn that as a group. And then lastly, serve, okay? And in there, we basically have a way to help you identify the areas of your passion and where you can serve within the church, but also beyond the church. Okay? Does that sound good? Yeah? So those 4 key steps, say together, ready? 1, 2, 3, discover, share, grow, serve. Okay? Discover, share, grow, serve. Okay? So why don't we all rise to our feet, and then let me just pray. And then why don't we just stretch our hands out, and then let's just pray this prayer together as we embark on this journey over the next 6 weeks. And that it'll be so much more than just a series. So let's just pray. Lord God, we want to come and submit ourselves to you. God, we thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God, we believe that the theme for this year is to see that you are a God that is more than able. But God, to begin, not only do we discover that you're a big God, but also you're a big God through us. Help us to know how we are made for more. Help us to embrace the way you have uniquely made us. Help us, as your scripture says, to not be ignorant about these spiritual gifts, but to understand the gifts that you place within us and how we can use that to serve your, as a church and as in your wider kingdom. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would take us and whisper and help us discover all these things. Help us see ourselves as the way you see us. Help us live in the way you have designed us to live. We pray this in the name of Jesus.